Blog Talk Radio.
Please hang up and try again.
Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio. This is The Late Show on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network, brought to you by Blog Talk Radio and by YakAngler.com. So I am your host, Rob DeVore, otherwise known as a Bad Batcast. So check out my goings-on on the blog, www.abadbatcast.com and YakAngler.com. And on the phone with me tonight, somebody I forgot what they look like because I haven't seen them around or heard from them in a while. So the always popular Mark Wheeler, the landing crew from Virginia Beach. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Doing good. How you doing, man?
All right, man. Good to hear from you. Haven't seen you around for a while. So that's either a good thing or a really bad thing. So. I'm glad that you finally came back to the show, man. So anyway,
yeah, long overdue.
Let me see if area code 603. Area code 603. How you doing, man? You're on Kayak Fishing Radio.
Hey Rob, it's Greg. How you guys doing?
Hey, all right, man. How are you?
Pretty good.
All right.
Good to hear from Mark again.
Yeah, I know.
Hey,
man,
what's going on,
talk
Greg?
About MIA. man, it's been like months. I thought I said something wrong or something, man.
No, it's only been about.
Well, dude,
about
since President's Day. Yeah, maybe since President's Day. But I was like, man, did I say something wrong or something? That's good, man. I'm glad to have you. Glad to have you back, man. It's good.
Oh yeah.
How you doing, Greg? What's happening, man? Yeah, how was your
It was actually warm up here today.
Awesome. I don't believe you, but awesome, nonetheless. Of course, of course, 60 is probably warm to you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, man. If it was 60, I'd be grabbing my jacket. So that's a little bit. You guys in up north and cold and all that stuff. Y'all can. Y'all can have that, man. I like to visit, but I don't miss it, man. So anyway, yeah, I got a lot of stuff going on, and let's see what's going on, man. I've been writing like a fiend, man. So that's good. I like writing as much as I like fishing. So that's a good thing for me, man, and hopefully a good thing for you too.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got an alert right now, that the snook are back on the beaches here in sunny South Florida. So I've been hearing reports, several good reports from the Sarasota area, which is just south of me. And they've been getting snook on the beach. Ken Taylor, a buddy of mine, down in Venice, was down, which is further south than Clearwater, was catching trout and some a couple of snook and some jacks and all sorts of, you know, it was a mixed bag out on the beach over the weekend. So if you're so inclined and you're in the area, hit the beaches, man, if you want to catch some snook. That's a great time of year to catch snook. And I don't know if any of you guys have ever fished for snook on the beach, but that's a good time to go fishing for them. Best time to go, in my opinion, it would be in the morning, like right before daybreak. You get there, you stake yourself out, make sure the tide's moving. Now, you can't just go to any beach in Florida and hope to catch a snook. I mean, they're there, but the best beaches that are going to hold the best snook are going to be within a mile of either side of a pass, like a major pass, a Clearwater Pass, I can't think of it, John's Pass maybe. There's another pass down in Sarasota that I can't think of the name of right now, right around Longboat Key. But those are great places to go fishing for snook on the beach, man. And what happens is, and I'm not kidding you, they're literally inches from the waterline, okay? They're in that first swash channel. So you do have to have a little bit of wave action there to create the swash channel for you. And you have to cast parallel. And it's usually sight fishing all the way. You got to definitely get acclimated to finding them, you know, to be able to spot them. And once you do that, though, it's a lot of fun. You know, trying to keep them from spotting you is the trick. And so you have to cast parallel to the surf and make sure that they don't see you. So that's a good time to fish for them is this time of year. Now, the males are going to be smaller. They're going to be the smaller ones. And if you see a big female, those are going to be the ones in the 15 to 20-pound range. Chances are it's going to have a bunch of small ones around her. So good luck getting her to eat too, man, because let's say you do make a nice presentation to a fish like that, there's probably going to be several smaller males around. So make sure that you, you know, have fun with it, man, and make sure that you know, you don't even have to take that snook out of the water, you know. Make sure you handle them really, really gingerly. So, anyway, it looks like Aaron's in the chat room. And see what else we got going on today. Let me ask you this, Greg. Do you use a multi-tool when you're out fishing?
Yes, I do. Picked up a few years ago. It's a little Leatherman Micra multi-tool.
Yeah.
And instead
nice.
Of having needle nose pliers on it, which are too small to use, it has a pair of really sharp scissors.
Nice.
Which is,
that'll work.
Perfect for cutting braid.
Yeah. So. That's awesome. And you know, the Leathermans are really, really nice. And you can get just about, and you know, you can interchange knife blades and things like that. I use a Gerber suspension, and it does have needle nose pliers on it, which I like. And it has, and I did put a blade on it, a little bit wider, thicker blade. But what about you, Mark? You use a multi-tool?
I don't like to take my Gerber out on the water with me. Main reason is they sink like a rock. you know, so
you're not supposed to lose it.
Yeah, well, last thing I want to have happen is either get dumped or, you know, be trying to unhook a fish at the side of the kayak and lose them overboard, because I've had these things for almost 6 years now. And,
wow.
Yeah, they're my... I mean, they've been around the world a couple of times, and they're my babies, so the last thing I want to do is drop them overboard. But I actually have what's kind of like a multi-tool is my pair of pliers I just bought. They're the Offshore Angler, it's a pair of pliers, crimpers, braid cutters, all in one, and they're you know, about 6 inches long, and they're the perfect. They fit, you know, right in my plier holder, and they float. So
yeah,
that's one less thing I have to worry about dropping and losing.
Well, you know, I'll tell you right now, man. I use my multi-tool every time I'm out. I'm not kidding you. I find some sort of use for it. Whether I'm pulling a hook out of a fish's mouth or, man, I mean, there was even one time when my seat cleat came loose, it popped a screw, and I had to screw the thing back in with my multi-tool. So, I mean, they really come in handy, and I usually wear it like on my waist, or I keep it right at, you know, arm's length, right inside my little main hatch there. So, and it's awesome. You know, I can't tell you how many times, and not just fishing, but man, and I once had a girlfriend that moved to Key West, and that thing, I had to put together a whole bunch of furniture at her house, and that was the only, I had no tools with me except for my multi-tool, and it worked. I used it, put together a whole house full of furniture with it, so definitely invest in one of those, and a good one too, man. Like I said, the Gerber, I like the Gerber myself because it's a little bit more affordable. I'm not saying that the Leatherman is not good. The Leathermans are awesome, but they're quite expensive, but they're worth it.
Oh yeah, you can't go, you know, if you treat them right, you know, don't, if you dunk them in salt water, you know, rinse them off afterwards, and you know,
oh, well,
spray them down with a good lubricant.
Yeah,
I've had mine for my Gerber, which is the it was originally for the military, you know, so it's got some extra little gadgets on there, you know, that we used all the time, and you know, I broke a blade off, you can change them out, you know, but you know, if you treat them right and you get, you know, spend the money, if you're looking to get a good multi-tool, spend the money and get a you know, a good one. You know, they come out now with you know, interchangeable sockets and interchangeable drive heads, you know, from Phillips to Star to flathead. I mean, you can go all out, or just get a basic multi-tool with a pair of pliers, a knife, a pair of scissors on it, and, you know, Phillips and flathead.
I think mine has... I believe mine has, I can't remember offhand, but I believe it does have about 12 tools on it. and yeah, I give it to the shot of WD-40 there once in a while, or 3-in-1, whichever I have around the house. It's definitely, you know, and I got some rust on it and stuff, but it's not like, you know, so much rust that you can't get the thing open, you know. But, yeah, it gets wet once in a while, and, you know, salt water on it and everything else. So I try to make sure that I keep it, you know, serviceable. And, you know, if you're good to that tool, man, that thing will be good to you. So, yeah, definitely, I definitely try to, you know, those things are 1,000,001 uses, man. So and I like that. You know, most of those Gerber suspensions come with a standard regular, you know, a smaller knife blade. But I upgraded it, and on one end of the knife blade it has, you know, just the regular knife blade, duh, a little bit thicker, a little bit heavier weight one, and then on the other side of it has a saw, so you can actually, you know, a serrated edge there. You never know when you might have to saw yourself down a tree or something with it.
Oh, yeah.
Or a mackerel, whichever's closest. No, but anyway, yeah, so it looks like, yeah, Fisher Boy, Andy, he lives in northwest Indiana. He's thinking about buying a kayak there. I was talking to him a couple of weeks ago about, you know, what he should get and, you know, what he's looking for. And he fishes up there in the Great Lakes, man. So I was, you know, thinking he might need something there that can handle a lot of surf and waves and stuff and some rough stuff. So I was throwing some ideas at him up there because he was telling me, it sounded like he was fishing up there with Isaac with the 8-foot waves up there and everything. So,
oh, yeah, it's nasty on the Great Lakes.
Yeah. I didn't realize that. Every time I've been there, it's been fairly calm. Or I was ice fishing.
Oh, yeah, that'll be it. But, yeah, he definitely need to look at, like, you know, from my side, the wilderness side, you're looking at, like, a tarpon 160, the ride, you know, something with scuppers itself bailing to the Malibu Cobras, fishing dives, if he can... you know, budget one of them in, even to a Hobie, you know.
Yeah.
The Outback and the Adventure and the Pro Angler, you know, those would be perfect out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I was telling him definitely get a wide boat that can handle that sort of thing. But believe it or not, Mark, when I was, you know, a couple of weeks ago when we were at the Goon, you know, the return to the Goon. Hold on, I got to get some sort of a. Hold on 1 second. Where am I?
The mosquito sound.
Yeah, I know, right? The return to the Goon. So anyway, yeah, Chippin is adding more sound bites here and everything. sorry, I'll try to stay away from. Oh, look, man, it looks like Chuck is here. Chuck, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, dude, man, I miss you. Where you been?
I've been busy, man, busy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Redfish Chuck. From Mosquito Lagoon, from Titusville, one of the world-class kayak fishing guides in the area. Chuck, I'm really glad that you're here, man. I missed you last week, and I'm excited that you're here. And I'm sorry I wasn't looking at the switchboard the whole time, you know. But well, I got Chuck's intro music, so hold on 1 second. From Mosquito Lagoon, Redfish Chuck. Redfish Chuck. Thank you, thank you. That's Charles Levi from Titusville. Dude, I'm so glad that you're here, man.
I'm glad to be here.
I was struggling, man. I had a sheet worth of stuff to talk about last week, and I talked about, you know, the Lagoon trip and everything, and Greg felt so sorry for me that he actually called, and I was like, you know, I went through my whole sheet of stuff, and I looked at the clock, and it's, you know, 11:15, and I was like, oh, so I had to, like, I was, like, losing it. I was really tired, and I was like, yeah, so, you know, Greg, how's the fishing up there? Really? You going fishing this week? You know, and it was like the worst show in history last week. And I'm sorry, I'm not saying that because Greg was on. Greg really helped me out a lot, man, and I appreciate it. So a whole sheet worth of stuff gone in the first 15 minutes. So nice. Anyway, so Chuck, man, I'm telling you, you got your... you know, I saw your pictures, man, and you were picking up some 40-pound tunas there offshore, man. That was awesome. Awesome.
Yeah,
you need take the kayak with you next time, man.
Yeah, that's, you know what, man, I come to realize something very, very quickly. The only way that I'm going to be able to catch a yellowfin off our coast out of the kayak is if I go to the buoy that's out there. Because otherwise, to catch those fish that I was catching... on Sunday, I would have to have arms of Superman and be able to paddle at like 17 or 18 miles an hour to get out in front of the fish because they're moving. They're not stationary. There's nothing out there that keeps those fish in one place, so it's definitely tough. But
got them all trolling?
Yeah.
They were all of them were trolling? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow, man. Yeah, you should see the pictures on his Facebook page, man, and on Yak Angler. You know, they caught a whole mess of tuna out there. Those were awesome, man. Oh man, I'm like seeing that stuff and I'm going, oh, I could just fix like sashimi for days with that stuff.
It's funny. The folks that I fish with actually live in England, but they have a house over here in Merritt Island, and they keep a big boat. They got a 36 yellowfin over here at one of the marinas, and they were actually going home Monday. So Sunday we went out, did our thing, and got back late, and they were like, well, we don't want the fish because we're going back home to England, so it's all for you.
Fish and chips.
So fish and chips. So I got 10 yellowfin tunas to carve up and take home, which was an awful lot of meat. And luckily for me, I've got a lot of friends over here, so I just started calling people, come pick up bags of tuna, please, because I don't know what in the world I'm going to do with it.
Here's my address.
Yeah, I got you.
Oh,
my God,
you
next go-around.
Oh, dude, that's okay. I'm just kidding. no, I'm telling you, man. 40-pound yellow tuna or yellowfin for me, man, I could, like, just have sushi for days and just, like, lay around going, aw. Man, that's some really good, you know, was it really, like, tuna or sushi grade? Hello? Do I still have everybody?
Yeah, Greg's still here.
What was that? I don't know, man. Oh, that was another thing last week. The Skype went down halfway through the show. Like, I'm sitting there, Greg's talking, and then all of a sudden, goodbye. And I was like, man, what happened? And I was, like, struggling trying to get back on, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I hope Greg doesn't think I... And then it's, like, right when I was coming back on, his battery died. I saw him, like disappear out of the switchboard there, man. So I was like, man, that was really not a good experience, man. So anyway, so did you get my little note about the DOA tournament down in Jensen Beach there, Chuck?
Yeah.
Well, it's full up.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm sorry. You broke up.
I'm not. I didn't sign up in time. I'm going to fish it this year.
Okay. Because they had, like, ocean kayaks for everybody, first, second, and third place. And
yeah.
I believe they had one for the kids division, and then another one for, like, biggest fish, and a raffle. So that, I think they're giving away, like, six kayaks all together, man. So that's down in Jensen Beach. Look at it. It's on the DOA website under...
Yeah, Mark Nichols puts on a really good tournament every year. That's a great event.
Plus, it's a DOA-only event, so the only stuff you can take, they give you a tackle box full of DOA stuff, and that's all you're allowed to use. And they said that it's, you know, it was... You know, retail price for the tackle box full of gear is like $50, and I think the registration fee is like $60 or something like that. So that's a really good tournament, man. That's just worth it just to go down there and get the tackle box, I think, anyway. But, yeah, maybe next year. But a friend of mine down in Venice got, like, you know, he was like entrant number 97. So he just barely got in, so... anyway, before you jumped in, Chuck, I don't know if you caught it or not, but we were talking about snook on the beach, and the word from the bird is down in Sarasota and Venice is that the snook are back on the beach. And in the chat room, if anybody's on the chat room, there's a article talking about snook on the beach, how to catch snook on the beach, what you should catch or what you should use to catch them, and written by me on... another website a little while back, so check it out. I like it. It's a pretty informative article in my opinion. You know, I'm kind of proud of it, so I kind of threw it back out there for people to read. So anyway, now you don't get that over there on your side. You have to go south in order to get on snook on the beach there, right, Chuck?
No, we get snook over here.
I know, but oh really? Right? You know, out past.
Yeah.
Really? Okay, cool.
Not out by Play Linda, not out where we were at, but
no.
My shop is, out in Port Canaveral, down towards the south around Satellite Beach and Cocoa Beach and all that. Yeah, there's tons of snook in the surf. We don't
That's
get
awesome.
Them like you guys do because it's too rough as far as sight fishing them, seeing them swim along the bank. I mean, every like once in a blue moon when the planets all align and the stars are all right, then you can see them, but for the most part, you're blind casting for them.
That's awesome. I mean, those things are fun, and that, you know, that's when you can catch them is when they're in the. I've always had a lot of good luck catching snook on the beach. Now, you know, the last couple of years, the numbers have been down. You know, because of the mortality, the cold water, the freeze that we had a couple of winters ago, just like really wiped them out. So, but it's kind of early for them. I think they don't usually. I don't usually hear reports of them around here anyway, on this coast, till you know, at least Memorial Day or at least somewhere around the middle of May at least. So when you see snook on the beach, that also means that tarpon are not too far behind. So get your tarpon sticks out, people. because won't be long now.
We've got them thick over here right now.
Yeah? Whereabouts?
Right off the coast. I mean, there's tarpon all up and down the beach. In fact, my buddy Scott, who I fish with quite a bit, Scott Rawson, he was fishing out of his buddy Eric Steele's little flats boat the other day, just out off the beach, and caught over a 100-pounder on a little 4,000 Stratic using 20-pound braid and a 30-pound leader. So it's kind of crazy. Yeah. Yeah,
did he get it?
Monster. Yeah, yeah. It took him an hour and a half, but he finally got to the boat.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's my favorite time right there is going after, and except I do it in a kayak, you know. And I want to get – I've never got one beat on fly yet. I've hooked them and I've jumped them and had them tow me around a little bit and all that. But I want to get one and beat it on fly, you know, 60, 80 pounds, something like that. Something I can handle, you know, at least. We'll go for the big ones later. But right outside Clearwater Pass, that's where I usually find them. And there's usually schools of greenbacks out there in the summertime. And you can usually find them at some point. Usually, I like to look for them a couple of days before the full moon. That's usually my tactic. So, man, summer's coming, and I love summer fishing in Florida. And I've never been too hot out in the kayak on a hot summer day. So, hey, word from the bird, man, on Yak Angler. And I don't know what Mark and Greg think about this, or Chuck, but there's rumors of a Memorial Day weekend fishing event with the folks, Yak Angler and the Kayak Fishing Radio folks. And Javier's been lobbying for everybody to come to Clearwater. So anytime, I just want to put that out there, any of the Yak Angler folks. I can house two Yak Anglers right here at Bad Back Cast Central. So any of y'all are welcome. If you're a member of yakangler.com or anything like that, give me a shout, man. We'll go out and do some night fishing. We'll do some night fishing, and we can do some snook fishing on the beach there, man. So anytime y'all, anybody are interested in that, and you're a member of yakangler.com, shoot me a message on there. So what else we got? Oh, man, I had a contest on Twitter the last week. I was getting up there close to my, my 1,000th follower, and I hit, you know, the deal was when I hit 1,000 followers, I was going to launch a trivia question, a Bad Back Cast trivia question. And if you were paying attention and you knew the answer, the first person with the correct answer would get a solid, how did I put that? A major prize. That was how. Get a major prize, and it, you know, and it's not Fred Geely either. So, so I did that. I said, the trivia question was, what's the name of my dog? What's my dog's name? And within like 6 minutes, 12 minutes, Michael Agneta from the Troutrageous website got the right answer. So, Mike, if you're listening, you know, I just wanted to say that you get your major award there is a box of flies hand tied by me. So you know, they don't have any fish catching guarantee or anything like that. So I haven't forgot about it, and I'm digging that out. And I've been tying flies this week anyway. So you'll be getting that in the mail here. I'm hoping to get it done by the weekend and get it out first thing Monday. So Michael Agneta from the Troutrageous blog, you won. Yeah, okay, whatever. Yay. My sound bites aren't agreeing with me today. There it is. All right. Woohoo. So anyway. Sorry.
Remix.
Yeah, I know, man. It's like, you know, I'm clicking the button and it's like, You know. So sorry, me and technology, it's really, you know, when you get me and technology together, it's, you know, sorry. Oh, man. So anyway, it's late. I don't feel bad, man. Tonight I'm actually awake and I'm not falling asleep and I'm not freaking out about it. So anyway, Chuck, I don't know if you noticed, but the landing crew is back. Did you notice that?
Yeah. I'm glad to have him back.
I was like wondering, you know, where back. I was like wanting to kind of start putting his picture on like milk cartons, you know, that really sunburnt picture of him from Mosquito Lagoon.
Oh, trust me, if radio had pictures, there'd be one big little middle finger coming up there, like, yeah, there you go, buddy.
But, yeah, hey, Mark, I know a really good article you can read about sun protection.
Hey, you know what? To be truthfully honest, when I got back from that trip, I really broke, you know, went ahead and bought a bunch of stuff. I bought two more buffs and got myself a big floppy hat and, you know, and some long sleeve shirts because I look at, you know, like some of my family members and they've got, every time I see them, they've got, you know, one or two new bandages on their back or on their chest from where they, you know, they had a little piece of happiness taken off. So
nice.
You know, time to get serious about it and, you know, get it taken care of.
Yeah, that's
what you
do, I'm telling
protect
you,
yourself.
Don't mess around with it, man, because, you know, dude, after I saw you like that and it was like, you know, you got pretty burnt the day before, you know. And then you went out, like, the next day and, like, you know, got more, you know, sun on top of that, man. So you must have been hurting pretty bad, man, afterwards. I can imagine. I did that, man, last year. My legs got it super bad. And I remember I was in and, you know, I'm, like, taking a bath in that after sun gel stuff. And the next week I went out and it was like, I couldn't stand my legs being in the sun, direct sunlight. I had to like cover them up with a towel, man. That was how it was nasty. So anyway, make sure you take care of yourself in the sun. So it doesn't matter if you look like an Easter egg or not, man. So, man, so that was
making fun of our shirts again.
Well, you know, actually, I picked up one of those, the starter, it's the cool dry system there, and it's just like a shirt, a long sleeve shirt, and it's like super tight, you know, and I thought, well, I don't want this thing to like cut off the circulation on me or anything, so I got a 3X, and it's still, I mean, I look like a sausage crammed into this thing, okay? So, you know, all of you guys that have met me, you know that I'm not like the most, you know, buff, you know, looking, you know, I'm not going to be on the cover of Muscle Mag anytime soon. So, so anyway, you know, so I put this thing on and it's like, you know, it's really snug and, you know, throw a shirt over top of it. But man, I tell you what, I have not been hot or cold wearing that thing and it protects me from the sun. And I'm, like, pretty impressed. I think I'm going to pick up a couple of more of them. And they definitely, you know, they keep you, you know, they dry super fast. So even if you do get it wet or you sweat in it or something like that, it's going to dry, you know, fairly quickly. So and they're cheap, too, man. I think I got that thing at Walmart for, you know, $10 or something. So definitely pick up those things, man. It's good to keep you covered, and it also keeps your temperature, kind of helps you neutralize your temperature. It's always a good thing to do in the summertime, too. So anyway, man, so Chuck, what kind of fish dishes can you make with that tuna that you brought in, man, besides sashimi?
Anything you want. It's basically it's the filet mignon of the ocean. So, I mean, I'm listen, this is the deal. Like, whenever I pass out fish like that to my friends, it comes with a stipulation. A, you don't ever freeze it. Because if you freeze it, then you might as well be just be kicked in the jimmy. you don't cook it all the way through like a I don't know, well done steak or something. So I mean, but what the way I like to eat it, man, I like pan seared, and I'll eat it sashimi, I'll eat it a couple different ways, but it's just it's interesting to like go to a sushi restaurant and order anything that's got yellowfin tuna in it. The little tiny sliver of yellowfin tuna that you get on a roll or just however you normally order it is just like so minute compared to the amount of fish that actually comes off of one of those things. So there's no lack of it is I guess what I'm trying to get to. There's no lack of fish. So your typical seared piece of tuna might only be, maybe 6 inches by 6 inches, like a chunk,
Yeah.
My pan seared tuna is basically an entire loin off the back of a 40-pound fish. So,
wow.
Enough to probably feed a small army, but I'm kind of a big guy and I like to eat, so it's enough to feed me.
Yeah.
That's my favorite way to eat them, man. I really like pan seared, so that's kind of the answer for me.
Like an ahi tuna or something like that?
Yeah, I just take it and there's a seafood seasoning. I get at Publix. I can't remember the name of it right now. But
I know what you mean.
Put that out on a plate and roll it in that and, roll the loin across the plate. It gets nice and coated real good. Get a skillet really, really hot. Drop it in the skillet. Roll it across the skillet. Pull it out and eat it. So it's pretty foolproof. As long as you don't turn the center white, you're in good shape.
Yeah, there's a sushi restaurant near me. Now, you go to you know what standard sashimi looks like, Well, this place it's a Thai restaurant and they have a sushi bar in it. And I was in there with my brother and they had like a sushi boat for two, and I figured, we like to eat, so we'll get something like that going on. Well, I did, and, dude, these pieces of sashimi were just gigantic. I mean, they were huge, bigger, larger than average, And, I'm telling you, man, between the two of us, we couldn't finish that whole, that sushi boat, man. That thing was, we had to take it home with us, man. That was definitely a nice, nice dinner there, man. So, and we did get yellowfin, and it was like some pretty big pieces. So I know what you mean, man. That's awesome. I'd definitely be having a heyday with that stuff, man. So
yeah,
when when they're kind of round, they're kind of shaped like footballs a little bit, aren't they? The yellowfins. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, so how much of that like is actually usable?
Just about all of it. I mean,
really.
The take on a yellowfin tuna is actually pretty impressive. How much meat you actually pull off of one? Like, say the one that I'm holding up in the picture. That's about a 45 pound fish somewhere in there.
Yeah.
That fish probably yielded 30 pounds of meat.
Wow, no kidding. That's pretty awesome.
I mean, just a big huge slab. I mean, cut them from above the eyeballs, like in between his eyes, on the top of the head, down around behind the gill plate, just like you would any other fish. You can fillet them, you can steak them. There's a couple different ways guys clean them, but once you're done cutting them, then you basically can hold them up and see right through it,
Wow, that's awesome. I never knew that.
So,
I mean,
I've never caught
one of those before. So what was the fight like on that thing?
I'm going to go ahead and change my world's greatest game fish
from dolphin.
The dolphin to the yellowfin tuna.
Because,
prior to this trip, I've only been tuna fishing a handful of times and wasn't very successful any of the times that I had gone. These fish, man, they hit with they hit like an NFL linebacker, and they keep running like, it's incredible. I bet you the average fish probably peeled off about 200 yards of line after it took the bait.
Wow, no kidding, really?
Did it in a hurry. Yeah, did it in a hurry. And the initial run is impressive. Once you get them turned around and they're coming towards the boat, it's really not that tough to get them in because they basically just swim along with the boat. You're just kind of, you know, guiding them to the boat itself. And then every now and again, one will see the boat as you're reeling it to it, and he'll freak out and go down or whatever. But definitely one of the stronger fish that I've ever pulled on. We're using 50-pound class tackle, like Tiagra 50s on bent butts with 60-pound monofilament tied directly to 80-pound fluorocarbon. So, I mean, it's definitely, you know, big game style fishing.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, they're absolutely incredible. I mean, I was hoping to get in a position where I can hurl a fly at one or at a pack of fish, but with them moving as fast as they did, it was kind of tough, you know.
Did you have your 12 weight?
Yeah, I brought 12 weight with me and some flies that I tied up, and you know, wanted to bring it out and at least try it. But if I'm going to bring out something like that and try it, I don't want to just throw the fly in behind the boat and drag it along like a trolling lure and hope something eats it. For me, that's not fly fishing. So
definitely not.
Tease one in, roll cast to it, something like that, but not just basically drag it behind the boat until something eats it. So.
So did they?
I'll catch them wolf packing.
Did it beat your leader up too? I mean, what are they like on your leader?
I guess it really just depends on where they eat or where the hook placement is.
If you hook
them in the jaw and they don't swallow the hook, then you're pretty much okay because their skin's not abrasive or anything like that. And so, I don't think I retied a leader all day because it didn't warn it, you know.
So they didn't have, like, they don't have teeth or sandpaper?
No, they do have teeth.
Oh, they do? Really?
Yeah, they got teeth, but most of the time when they come up, see, we're using big hooks. We're not using, like, small, thin dolphin-style hooks, like a 3407DT is the typical hook that guys like to use for dolphin fishing for Mustang.
Yeah.
That's a thin wire hook. We're using heavy-gauge stainless steel hooks, like 9-0s.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
I mean, basically a small marlin hook is what we're using for the tunas. Because they're strong, you can put a lot of heat on them, but also, too, you know, it's a rig that you don't have to throw away when you get done at the end of the day. I mean, a box of those is like $60. So, I mean, you're not, you know, they're good.
That's
good,
cool.
Good solid hooks. But I'll tell you what, I don't know if you read my little report or not. Like, I got a chance to hook up my first marlin, and I had them on for a brief minute. And it was a white marlin. Had him
no
on for a brief minute. And he threw the hook. But it was pretty impressive to see him get up and dance across the back of the boat and do his thing. It was kind of crazy. And then we had a monster blue marlin in behind the boat, probably close to a 500-pound fish in behind the boat. Just laying in the spread, kind of looking at everything, checking things out. And he decided he didn't want nothing that we had, so he swam off. But you know, it's just a different world out there. I mean, we're nowhere near the sight of land. We stopped at like 79 miles on our first pack of birds off the coast and, you know, started looking at east from there after we picked up our first few fish. And I think the furthest out we were was somewhere around 90 miles.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, but you know what? What's cool about being over there is, you would think that being out in the middle of the open ocean, basically closer to the Bahamas than you are to the state of Florida, that it's a big, vast emptiness of the ocean. Like, there's not a lot of life, you know, to cover that much water. But I don't think that we went a mile or a mile and a half without seeing porpoises or pilot whales or birds working over bait fish and tunas busting and just, you know, an incredible amount of sea life. You know, the pilot whales, to me, was probably the coolest thing of the day, just to see how many of those were out there. But it was fun.
Absolutely. Sounds like it. Now, Greg, did you go fishing over the weekend? Didn't you go on a – didn't you have, like, a tournament or something to go fishing with?
Yeah, we had a spring kickoff here. Went out to the Concord River and I guess about – I think we probably had about 22 guys from the New England Kayaking Fishing site. And went out there, did not have a lot of luck. Water was still cold, down in the 40s. And but the wind and fish was a 27-inch pike. And
Nice.
A couple more up in the 20s, but between all of us, I think there were half a dozen to maybe a dozen fish caught all day.
Wow.
But
it's a slow day, but
yeah,
at least you caught
Yeah, good to get all the guys out there and had a good barbecue and got Andre from the Yak Angler site out there for the first time on a kayak. So
seriously, that was his first time out?
First time out. Had the Amas out on his new Hobie Revo and
cool.
Side imaging sonar on it, and he's got the setup going, so.
That's cool, man.
And it floated, so that's the important part.
Yeah, I know, right? You put so much stuff on that, you know, on your kayak, it's like, okay, where do I go now?
Yep.
That's why I don't put anything on it, except to me. So, okay, you know, man, I was going to ask the landing crew something, and I forget now. Man. Dang it. Where was... Oh, did you ever check out that the Reaction Innovations site?
I left my computer at work because I didn't want to look at it when I was sitting at home.
Okay.
So I haven't had a chance to yet. But I think I've heard of them and have checked them out before.
Yeah. Chuck, those things are hilarious, man, but I bet you anything those things will catch fish.
Oh, no, I've crushed a redfish on them.
Yeah?
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure. I was fishing a tournament, not a kayak tournament, but just a regular boat tournament. What was it, I think it was November, and I caught four or five trout over 20 inches on it. And every redfish I caught that day, I caught on that bait and on that paddle tail I gave you. And I think I ended up with five or six slot-sized reds, one over slot. So, I mean, I caught a ton of fish on it. I was actually pretty surprised. And you know, I'm a big fan of the paddle tails, man. And that's one of the reasons why I was like, you got to see these things. These things are kind of cool, so...
Yeah, you know, the thing I like about them is it looks like something different, you know. Everybody makes a 3 and a 4 inch paddle tail. I think those look like they're about 5, and they're a little bit thicker than your average paddle tail, and which, you know, to me is a dead ringer for a finger mullet. So least in my area. So, I think that'll do pretty well. And I was checking that thing out, you know, thinking, well, you know, I could put a weedless worm hook on this or, you know, rig it several different ways. So I'm excited about trying that thing out. And I might give it a go this weekend. I'm going out night fishing. I was going camping all weekend out on the island, but I definitely couldn't find anybody to watch my dog sit for me. So I don't like to, you know, leave my dog with just about anybody, you know. Usually my brother will look out for her, or my mom will come stay with me or something like that, but no dice this time. Everybody's busy, so I had to put the X-nay on the camping trip for this weekend, but I'm definitely getting out there before it gets too hot. Aaron says he's going offshore this weekend, Chuck.
Oh,
are you in on that,
Aaron,
too? I don't know. He says he's going out doing... He's doing a going out for dolphin.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't know. That's
Aaron needs to stop by my shop and talk to me before he goes doing that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, he's listening, so I'm sure he will.
Good. Aaron, stop by the shop before you go out dolphin fishing.
Oh, man. That's cool.
I got the inside information, dude. You got it. You know what I'm saying?
I know you do. I think that, man, Chuck is like the major resource, man. That's what you're. That's
why.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got to go over there, and when you fish on the East Coast around Titusville, you got to go see Chuck at the store, Handler's Fishing Supply. So definitely, if you're not going out fishing with him, stop by the store. Do something. Do you have those Mosquito Lagoon stickers there, man? I just thought those were the coolest things in the world. Do you have those?
No.
No? Dang it.
No.
Man, those things
are... Packers.
I thought that was pretty neat myself. But I'm easily entertained. Oh, he said he's coming by tomorrow.
Whatever. Aaron, I open tomorrow, so I'll be gone by 2:00, buddy.
He should just move to Titusville, man. I think he's there as much as you are.
Yeah, I think he is. He's actually probably fishing more than I am lately. But
yeah,
that
could be.
That kind of keeps you off the water a little bit. But
he got a nice redfish the other day, man. Did you see his pictures on Yak Angler there?
Yeah, nice.
He's turning into quite the prodigy there.
Yeah, I'm no longer telling Aaron any of my secrets.
Man, so yeah, Mark.
I like to give Aaron a bunch of crap, man, because one time he came in, like when I first met him, he came into my shop and we were talking. And he's getting into it and stuff, and had never caught a redfish or whatever. And I was like, yeah, man, there's this one flat that I always go to, but you know, be kind to it. Don't hit it all the time or whatever. And he every picture that I saw of him with a fish came off that same flat for like the next, I don't know, 6 months. And and he was like, "What, man? I don't know where else to go." So it was just kind of funny, you know. I never ran into him there, which was weird because I mean, I fished there quite a bit, but I never ran into him there. So whatever. Aaron's a good fisherman. I like the kids.
Yeah, he's good job, and he's a Malibu guy too, you know. So him and his girlfriend both have X-13s, you know. So that can't be too bad. Anyway, no, that was, he seems to know what he's doing, man. And, I think that's a great fishery out there. Now, you know, Mark, you really missed out because we went to Dixie Crossroads when we were there and last time. And this is like a seafood restaurant that'll knock your socks off. Man, that place was great.
Oh, man.
I think we waited like 45 minutes for a table, too. And that was like after fishing all day, so I was like ready to start grabbing those tilapia out of the pond that they had there and start eating them. So, yeah, man, that place was great. So thanks for the heads up on that one.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I'm not missing the next trip.
No. Okay.
No, I've got a jar above the fridge now that says fishing trip to Florida on it, and it's got some dough in it.
Now, we do have some breaking news right now coming in live on the... Okay.
God.
Yep, that's right, man. Breaking news. Live right here on The Late Show. Mark, you were saying something that your wife put in orders today.
Yep,
and
for Mayport,
where are you planning on moving to?
If everything works out, we'll be heading to Mayport, Jacksonville, Florida.
All right, there you go.
Hey.
Yeah, it's not what I'm going to. Whatever. So anyway, enough with the sound bites. I think that's awesome, man. That's not a bad fishery up there in Jacksonville, man. You'll do good there. And you're only, 3 hours from the Goon and about 3 hours from Clearwater. So you're in a, that's not a bad spot, man.
Yeah, about 3 hours to Panama City. And
yeah.
You know, it'll be nice, you know, a couple hours to Savannah.
Yeah.
So I'd have a good central hub.
And you got, you know, Charlie up there, and you got Scott. Those guys are solid dudes. So, you know, you already know you've already been fishing there, so you kind of know what it's all about.
Yeah, the nice thing is, where we would be living would be right there at the ferry, so I go across the Little Talbot whenever I want to and fish over there. And so that would be cool.
Yeah, exactly. So that's awesome. And chances are you can fish year-round, you know. As long, you know, Charlie and Scott said that they were out there fishing this winter, and it was 8 degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah, no thanks, right? Yeah, Greg would be, like, out there What jacket? What for?
Short t-shirt.
Yeah, yeah. What do you mean jacket? It's not that bad.
We don't need non-stick and dry gear.
So, Mark, you know, Greg's got a blog going now. I didn't even know that until, like, last week. So what's your blog called, Greg?
It's yakfish.net.
There you go. See, now that's not a, you know, and I checked it out, and there's some pretty cool articles on there, especially the one about the Malibu Fix-It on the Gator Hatch Fix-It. So definitely go there, yakfish.net. Check out Greg's blog there, man. It'll be a good thing. So Mark, you fishing this weekend?
No, it doesn't look like I'm going to be fishing this weekend. Wife's out at sea, so I'm kind of stuck at home with the minions for now.
Okay.
But next weekend, I am definitely hitting the fish. Baybridge Tunnel's just starting to blow up with the tog and fish like that. The bass is just out of sight right now. I take my lunch break right next to a little pond next to the office, and I've been catching bass during my lunch break. So,
well, that's a little bit of a – that's kind of a haul for you on a kayak, the Bay Bridge there, man. That's – I mean, we got to go like 2 miles out or something?
Well, you can – theoretically, the moment you launch, you can start fishing. But the better areas are towards the first island, because there's a total of four islands on the Bay Bridge Tunnel. And the first island, you're looking at like a 3 mile paddle, which isn't all that bad. If you time it just right and the wind's right, you just kind of cruise along and just take your time, fish every other pylon until you get there and, you know, fish your way back. It's a pretty nice little setup.
That's cool. Sounds cool, man. Hook up with Choi up there, man. Get us some,
oh, yeah.
Get
me
some
and Rob
good fishing
have,
reports going.
Me and Rob have fished before together, you know, with the Pirates of Lynn Haven and, you know, things like that. But he lives up in Richmond. He's got like a 2-hour, 3-hour drive some days down to
yeah,
fish.
Well, he's hardcore, man. That dude will go down there and fish for like all weekend and sleep for 2 hours, man.
Oh, that'll be me here soon.
Yeah.
Definitely
good deal,
makes,
man. Good
I'll
deal.
I'll go from surf fishing to fishing the kayak at night to going to work, getting off surf fishing all night again. So.
Cool. Now, Greg, you going fishing this weekend?
Yeah, I'm probably going to head out for a few hours Saturday morning. The local lake that I like to hit finally became ice-free on Wednesday, just yesterday. So
no kidding.
I got to go out and see
if
I...
You have chunks floating, like mini icebergs or anything?
I think they're all gone, but I was questioning it. I thought I was going to be breaking ice to go out there.
You got the alarm on the front of your kayak, you know, so you go, oh there's an iceberg ahead. Oh, no. So, sorry. So I think that's awesome. So, you know, what are you going for?
This lake, for the most part, it'll be largemouth bass.
Oh, cool.
There's also some pretty good pickerel in the lake, so
those are fun,
man.
Pick
up some of them, yeah.
Those are fun up there. I used to have a blast fishing with those things, man. Well, cool. And Chuck, you getting out this weekend or what?
Nope.
Nope? Okay.
No fishing for me. Nope.
That's
wife's
awesome.
On call, so I gotta watch the boys.
Man, you gotta like stick a playpen in the back of your kayak or something.
My oldest will be 2 in May, man, so he's
yeah.
getting closer and closer to the age where I'm gonna start taking him. So,
yeah,
that's cool. Awesome, man. You gotta take kids fishing. They remember it the rest of their life, man. I remember some of my first fishing trips, man. One of my first fishing trips, I was like, one of my earliest memories in my, you know, as far back as I can remember, I remember camping with my family at this place called Old Man's Cave in Ohio. And it's in southern Ohio. Anyway, this place was great. Great place to camp and stuff with your family. But I remember my dad and my sister were fishing. And my sister, who knows what, you're probably using hot dogs for bait or something like that. But my sister got like the biggest crawfish I've ever seen in my life, man. I mean, you know, to this day. You know, and me thinking about it, it was just like a, you know, big, huge black. It looked like a lobster, man. So it probably wasn't. It was probably only about 4 inches long, but it just seemed bigger, when, you know, when you're like 3 years old, you know. So that was my first memory from fishing. So, and I've had quite a few of them since. So it's definitely good to take the kids fishing. All right, man, we're at the end of our hour. And I want to thank everybody for coming in tonight, man. Had a lot better show this week than last week, so please forgive me. See if I can get Chip to erase that from the Kayak Fishing Radio memory banks there from last week. And you all have a good weekend. You know, Redfish Chuck. And we got Greg the Hammerhead and Landing Crew Mark Wheeler. So y'all make sure... Take your kids fishing, wear your PFD, and until next week, I am Rob of BadBadCast.com, brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. Check out the blog, BadBadCast.com, and YakAngler.com. So anyway, this is the end of the show. See you guys next Thursday. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming in. And if I can get a yay here, hold on a second. Hey, all right, man. Thank you guys for coming in. And have a good weekend, and I'll see you next week.
Tight lines, Chris.
All right, man.
Tight lines, everybody.
All righty. This has been the Late Show on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. See ya.